In the podcast system, sexually awkward situations are considered absolutely hilarious. In the state of Texas, the dedicated G's who regurgitate these gag-worthy stories are members of an elite squad known as the Kiss Me Fat Boy Unit. These are their stories.
They're all going to laugh at you!
Before we start, I want to say something.
Okay.
Yeah. All you self-promoters are janky. We established like the Yankees. Just saying.
Is that a Nicki bar?
No, that's Drake.
Oh my god. You're either always quoting like a Nicki bar or a Cardi bar or a Drake bar.
Drake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's been a while since we last did this. I don't know. It's a lot has happened. Literally it's been over a month. But anyways, before I lose sight of what I need to do, the disclaimer, I'm going to go ahead and give it. You as a listener are deciding if this is a conversation or a confrontation regarding the topics we address on this episode. I'm like a little blah. I'm rusty at this now because it's been such a long time since we did this, GR. I keep saying that, but I don't know. I feel like we haven't been as dedicated to the podcast as we should be, but it's fine. Life is happening and there's so much going on. So,
and if y'all want us to take it a lot more seriously, send us more checks. You know what I'm saying?
Patreon. Maybe we should go to Patreon.
We should.
No, seriously.
We should. I mean, what's crazy is like, there's a lot of good questions I could ask. I had to tell Zach this a couple of days ago. I was like, there's a lot of the year left, so I'm not trying to like burn everything out all at once. Because think about this, in a couple of days we'll be in April, which that basically still means we have 8 more months of this shit. But you know what's so funny is I think that right now, I think the first couple of months of any beginning of a new year is always like the adjustment period to certain stuff, you know? Because it's like you just got from the holidays, all that hype and all that other excitement and shit kind of gets depleted, you know, the serotonin and stuff. And then, of course, it's cooler for the first couple of months and all that good jazz and shit. So it's like people are starting to, like, get acclimated to the weather change, to now allergy season, to, like, now summer, you know? And then that's when people really start to turn up in the sense of, like, vacations and shit like that. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, allergies are definitely out there and, you know, just kind of getting ready for spring and then summer's right around the corner. So, you know, city boys up. I'm a city boy who's in a relationship, so I'm gonna forever be a city boy. You know, the turn up is fun, but I haven't really been going out either. I think it has a lot to do with, I was telling Chris, like, I went out Saturday. Went out with some friends. They were here out of town. He was here for a dance performance, and then his boyfriend was it was his birthday, and I went out with him for a few hours, and dude, I had like this immense guilt like the entire time. Like, I was drunk, but I was like feeling so guilty because I'm like, what reason do I have to celebrate life right now because of everything that's going on with my grandmother, where I'm kind of stuck in this mental space of like, bro, you don't need to be out, you don't need to be doing this. Even when I went to go visit Chris like last week, I remember the first leg, not the first leg, but the first day, I was feeling like some big guilt. Like, I shouldn't be here. I should be there waiting with, I don't know, being there for my grandmother or calling her or just being in close proximity of her, you know? But I'm doing my best to have a healthy balance of my own life and still working and, you know, attending to her needs and wants and everything. So, yeah, it's a... this first half of the new year has been a little bit, the first quarter. It's been a lot, but it'll get better. It always will. All right. So as a lot of you know, I think I've said it a few times. Angie Martinez is one of my inspirations as to why I started a podcast, you know, podcast in general, interviewing, just all those things, right? She's just been a huge inspiration, along with the Breakfast Club and a few other people, but she's one of the headliners for me. So she recently did a interview in the last month with J Balvin, and she said from now on she's going to start off her podcast asking this question. So I kind of wanted to ask you this question. I don't think we'll do it every single time, but I think it's good to kind of ask just to kind of see where you're at, you know. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you right now?
A -5, I'm sure.
Same.
No, you know what's crazy is like, all right, cool. So a little long story long, Big Strong. You know, when we came back from Texas just, you know, last week and stuff. Actually, today's Monday. Yeah, it's about a week ago, okay? And we were there for, you know, 8 days and stuff. I had to, like, kind of contemplate a couple things on the way back with Zachary and stuff in regards to, like, where I'm currently at mentally, emotionally, and physically, right? And the one thing that I kind of realized while being here in Memphis and stuff is that I've not really had a lot of happy moments. I think that a lot of them can be chopped up as content moments. So from like a 1 to 10, how I am currently, I really probably got to put myself at a 5, which is like a, you know, neutral, because a lot of the emotions that I go through are like back and forth. So I think that like the medium range essentially kind of just counterparts it to being neutral, which of course would be more like me saying I'm content, which is one of the reasons why Zachary and I are right now very much on that soul searching journey to become happy. Because I think one of the things that I'm coming to terms with is that it's actually, remember, you know, I quote a lot of the shit that you've said in the past almost 14 years, right? Because we've been almost friends for 14 years. And I remember you had told me, this was probably when I was dating Daniel, or might have been like, it was actually shortly right after him and I broke up the first time. I think you had told, and you had definitely told me this, and I remember like jotting that shit down in my brain. You told me, Gio, you're not meant to always have fun. And I remember like, what the fuck do you mean like that? I'm in my 20s, you know, what do you mean? Everybody says I'm supposed to have fun. But as I'm, you know, now in my 30s and stuff, I realized that there is a such thing as, like, it's almost like oversaturating the market, right? And I feel like that also could kind of fall into the fun department. Where you can do
something like an overindulgence, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like, because remember, even when Zach, when Daniel and I broke up and stuff, like the final time and stuff, that's when I met Jeremy and Mo, and we were constantly going out every motherfucking weekend.
Yeah,
and
but you were in your 20s, of course.
But mind you, we were going to the same places, doing the same shit, and so like the first couple of, like the first 2-3 weeks, all right, it was litty titty, you know, with a whole lot of hair kitties. And but you know, it started to really wear itself off. So it wasn't until I think, because you know, of course, God rest his soul, you know, Scott was still alive at the time, and I remember him telling me, Gio, like, you're gonna get to a point where like this shit is just like you're only kind of going out to make face, you know, or not to make face, I'm sorry, to save face. And I was like, nah, that's not what it is, blah blah blah. And then, nope, sure enough,
how old was Scott at that time? Because he was a lot older, right?
Well, he passed away in 2020, so we're almost going on 3 years here in a couple of weeks. Let me see. I think he was very much in his 40s. Like, I want to say if that was, like you see, if that was 20s.
Wait, 30, at that time when you met him, he was in his 40s?
Yeah, because let me show you. So Scott.
So did he die in his 50s?
No. So Scott's date of birth is December 22nd, 1973. So back in 2017, he would have been 44. So, 44, because he passed away when he was four, almost.
You met Scott in 2017?
No. I met Scott in 2013.
Oh, okay. So then.
I met Jeremy and Mo.
So he was around my age when you first met him?
No, he was 39 when I met him.
39?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so he died when?
3 years ago. So if we're
hold on, let's start all over because the math ain't math in here. Okay.
No. He would have turned 50 this year.
Okay.
Because he was born in 73. So 50, 23. So he passed away when he was 46. He didn't make it to his.
Okay, but when you met him, he was my age, because that what you said in 2013, right?
No. Oh yeah. No, but mind you, so 2013, right? He would have been. Are you right, honey?
No, he. Hold on. Okay. No,
I'm sorry. I met him right before he turned 40, because I met him in September of 2013. Oh. Yeah. So his birthday is in December. So he was just about celebrate.
Okay. So 7. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So I remember when all that was taking place and happening, and I think that was really essentially like the emotional pit slide of like where I kind of started to change and evaluate certain stuff. When it came to fun, you know, because when you had told me that, I was like, no, this man is fucking full of shit. But again, you know, when you're in your 20s, nobody can tell you shit because you know better than anybody, right. So here we go, fast forward 6 years almost later. And I'm still trying to, like, because I remember you asked me that question shit, I think when we kind of like rekindled again, like for the third time, right? Back after,
you know, we stay breaking up,
right? Yeah. We're still toxic. We just keep coming back to each other.
Still toxic. Yeah. We're Krishan and Blueface. I'm just kidding.
Right? Except we don't got missing teeth.
And ain't nobody skinny over here, okay? We ain't no twerk.
Right? Shit. And none of us is faster than a linebacker either. Or wide receiver, whatever the fuck she was doing there. Anyways, excuse me. And I remember I used to get really, like, defensive when you asked that question. Like, well, you know, Gia, what are you doing that makes you happy? And I'm like, I'm doing all of that. But, you know, as I've kind of slowed down everything around me, I that's kind of, like, become life's mission of a question.
Remember, I used to say, too, like, God damn, what you celebrating so much?
Yeah. And, like, and I remember I'd be, like, so irritated. I'd be like, what the fuck? Am I supposed to, like, I woke up today breathing. Like, isn't that a reason to celebrate?
No, but it goes with the whole mantra, not only YOLO, but like you're here for a good time, not a long time. Right. So I think within reason, like have fun, enjoy your life. You know, life is too short to be unhappy, you know? So well, do a lot of what makes you happy. And if that's turning up, that's turning up. But of course,
you know what? Speaking of that, so my mom texted me yesterday and shit, like she texted me like super random things, right? Cause you know we're trying to work on this other business that I'll let you know once we finalize the paperwork and stuff. And this is like the great like this is the next transition for Zachary and I in regards to business, because we want to elevate and we want to be able to secure a future for you know our future kids and stuff like that. And it's really important that I make that foundation now. But anyways, so my mom texts me this photo and shit. No, she actually calls me. And she's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you know, Zachary and I are about to head over to his folks' place, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what are you doing? She was like, I'm here bearing witness to an accident. And I was like, what kind of accident? She says, this girl got ran off the road. Her car flipped over like 10 times. She's like, let me send you some photos. And I was like, what?
Dude, it's so much. Like, I at least once a week, like with my mom especially, she'll send me like pictures of like, look at this horrible wreck. And like, it's kind of scary how people...
Well, no,
spectators. They're spectators, and they just take pictures of it. Like,
well, no. So my mom, she wasn't like, no, she stopped actually as the accident took place, and she actually was, you know, going to be one of the witnesses and stuff. Yeah. Because she said, you know, that this person ran her off the road, and her car flipped over at least like 10 times. So like, homegirl, like my mom was taking photos of her on the ground and stuff, that just to sit there and have her show whatever evidence she needs or whatever, right? Yeah. Because my mom was the type of person, she kind of pays it forward. She's not a spectator. She's not one of those people who do shit for like the gram or the Facebook or for
whatever. I wasn't calling her that, but I'm just saying that a lot of people do that. Like, there's no privacy anymore. People with a click, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think also when my mom did it too, and like, you know, shout out to my mom for this. Is like, when she sees Latin women, especially, you know, in a place where like English isn't necessarily their primary language, she likes to sit there and be there for them as a translator because she knows how difficult it is to kind of get swept under the rug. Yeah. So she took photos, and I'm like, she sends me the fucking photos of the car, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, this woman should have died, you know? And she was like, no, she's like, you know, she's lucky to be alive. And, you know, and then like yesterday, she calls me back like a couple hours later or whatever. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm going to the hospital to take that girl her belongings. And I was like, oh.
Aww, look at your mom.
So she, yeah, so, you know, her fiance and stuff like that. I mean, might as well be her husband because, you know, they got commitment issues anyway.
Honestly,
honestly, they got two kids together, so I don't know.
They've been engaged for 10 years. No, just kidding. No, but that's what happens sometimes. You just kind of get stuck, you know, in like a certain space.
Well, you know what's
like,
funny?
We'll get to it at one point, but life kind of gets in the way, you know?
But what's funny is that, like, my mom is kind of the primary example of, like, the kind of question you asked me. It's like, I told you, long story long, is that she finds versions of belonging in the world that make her happy. It may not necessarily be full-time, but she kind of relishes in the moments where she finds little moments of spurt of happiness, you know? So, like, yesterday, obviously she wasn't happy the homegirl got in a wreck, but she was happy to be there for her in a way that most people would have just ignored and kind of just kept on moving, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, where I'm at, too, is, like, I'm trying to find these little moments of happiness. I have, like, little sporadic moments of, like, super jolly moments where I'm clapping and snapping, you know, that's, like, my little fucking tick or whatever. And you know, but like it's just I don't know, like I don't want to say it's getting harder as I get older. It's just that like my comprehension is starting to get worse, like in the sense of trying to make sense of everything. And it's like I don't know if I've kind of fallen into a little pit since 2020 where everything is like I'm having to dissect everything, the purpose behind it, instead of just let it be. So it kind of sucks, I'm not gonna lie, because it's like sometimes, like when we went to Dallas for TBRU, like I really had to tell myself every fucking day, let it go, just have fun, smile, have fun, let it go, have a smile. You know, like, and it's just like, you know, but like I told you, like for me, when it comes to emotions and all that shit, it's like, it's very difficult because it's like, oh my God, like, you know, you're trying to trick yourself into being something you're not at the moment, into believing that it'll eventually happen. You know, it's like faking it until you make it.
Yeah, I think everybody, I think the older you get, the more you struggle with your emotions, your mental health, you know, social cues, social settings. It gets a little bit more difficult. I mean, that's why I'm always telling you, you know, therapy, therapy. When you're ready, I'm not going to push it on you, but I do tell you, you know, like there are tools and resources when it comes to therapy that they can really help you with when you're in a rut like that, right? When you're stuck. But again, whenever you're ready, there's,
you know,
I'm not going to shove it down your throat like they do on OnlyFans. And is it just for fans? What is it? Because I've only heard of OnlyFans.
It's everything. It's JFF. It's OFF. It's
No, but what does JFF Grand stand for? Just friends only? Wait, what is it?
No, oh boy. It stands for just for funds. No, I'm joking. For fans. That's just for fans.
Yeah. Everything's a fan thing. Yeah.
Right? You know, Justice League was taken, so whatever.
He's stupid.
No, but you know what's crazy, though? Is like you just said something right now that... Damn, look at my ADHD ass. I'm done going somewhere else.
Yeah, you've been talking for 16 minutes and you haven't asked me the same fucking question.
No, I was about to ask you the question. No. So for you, I'll go ahead and remix the question, all right? So mm-hmm. like, from instead of saying how happy are you, how, from a 1 to 10, and we'll do this like in a bi-weekly or a bi-monthly question, how, mm-hmm. from a bi-weekly or a bi-monthly standard, how often do you find yourself going from happy to sad? Or happy to another emotion?
So naturally, I like to say that I am a happy person, right? Mm-hmm. I do have my moments, but I think within this, since about February, we're going into April now, these last month and a half, my emotions have been a roller coaster. It's been a lot. I'm telling you, it's this guilt thing that I carry with because of my grandmother. So like, one minute I'm good, the next minute, I don't cry as much now, right? I want to say within the last 2.5 weeks, I don't cry as much because I'm finding my strength now. I'm learning to set my boundaries. I'm learning to say when I'm triggered, I'm kind of taking a step back and not, you know, just drowning in it. I'm saying, you know what? I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I need to feel it and then let it go and then compartmentalize and then keep it moving. So I would say... at this very moment, I'm like a
content.
No, I'm not. I don't want to say a 5 because for me, that's just like that's like a given, right? And I'm also not going to say a 10. Oh, okay. I'm going to say overall, I'm about a 6.5.
That's fair. But to kind of give a little bit of insight, because I really do want you to tell people now how you understand emotionally how it feels to be me in the last almost 10 years, how you kind of come to understand emotions and settings. Because, like, I remember telling Zach when we had that conversation back in February. Wait, was it February? Yeah, it was February. Or was it end of January? I don't remember. Anyway, it was one of those two. I remember telling Zach was like, why are you smiling? And I'm like, because now Ray gets it. And he's like, Ray gets what? And I was like, Ray gets it, how it feels to be me at times. I'm like, because I think for a long time, Ray was just very fucking confused as to why I operate the way that I operate. Because it just
didn't. Yeah, because you know how to fight for love. Mm-hmm. You're talking about that, right?
Yeah, but not only that, but just the understanding of other people while in a romantic setting or trying to be in a romantic setting. Because most people, they don't, especially like I told you, men aren't necessarily taught from start to adulthood to express emotions. What's funny is you think about it, most kids, whether, you know, male or female or non-binary, you know, most of them are taught to, like, express as infants. Like, tell me what you want. Use your words. Does this feel okay? Like, you know, they're always kind of, like, persuade in a different direction when it comes to feelings. So as you get older and you kind of, like, set yourself, you know, from infant to toddler to toddler to you know, to preteen to teenager to, you know, 20 years or whatever, you're kind of like, your emotions are, I don't want to say your emotions, but your parents kind of take a really big swing at trying to persuade you to feel the opposite of emotions. You know what I'm saying? Like when you especially experience heartache or hurt, you know, it's okay. It doesn't hurt that bad. You know, it's like, I wouldn't sit there and say it's a manipulation tactic. I think it's more of like a defense
mechanism. But I think it's important that we learn to use our words because you set that up for future communication, how you communicate. So it's very important.
Or how you don't communicate.
Yeah. Or how you don't communicate. So I feel like, yes, our parents, and I'm going to say our mothers, have not the sole responsibility, but a big part in that in telling us and how to communicate. Hey, I know it hurts. Hey, I know you're crying. Hey, I know you can't really put all your thoughts together, but tell me what's going on. Talk to me. Because that's very important. I feel like, I don't want to say, because I was raised by my grandmother, right? She really never taught me to use my words. What she taught me to use was my strength. Uh-huh. And that's the one thing now that I'm learning as a 35-year-old man, how to use my words and use them correctly and actually look at someone and be like, you know what? I need to fully think this through and not just word vomit, right? Because, you know, you can tell the person the truth. You can give the truth, but it doesn't always have to be brutal. It doesn't always have to be asshole. Like you can tell somebody how you feel and tell them the truth without being a dick about it. Like, that's really how it is. That's how I was. I was just like, you know, I operated from a place of strength, from a place of like being reactionary, being impulsive, rather than let me think this through. Let me put my words and thoughts together. Like, not so much like, for example, the other night, you know, Chris was out and you know, we share each other's location. Me and Chris are in a long distance relationship. And I came at him, you know, a little rough. Not a little rough. I came at him rough. And I was like, where you at? Who you with? When I have his location. Obviously, I asked because that location, I've never seen that location before. And I had woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning because there was a situation with my sister. I'm not gonna even get to that. But there was a situation with my sister. Yep. And we were talking all night. So when I saw, almost all night, I looked at his location. I was like, where the fuck is this? I don't know who the fuck this is. What the fuck? You know? So I called him. And I called him twice. Once he said he'll call me back. And then I was like, oh, no. You need to call me back now. I didn't say that, but I called him back. You know? And I said, where are you at? Who are you with? He's like, you know, and he was taken back. He's like, dude, you have my location. He's like, you know, like, why are you coming at me like that? So again, I'm still trying to wrangle in these emotions, right? These impulses where it's like, dude, like you're ready for war. Like your guns are blazing. You know, can I go zero to fuck you real quick? You know what I mean? But that's all I know. So it's so easy for me to go back to that old Ray, you know? So I am working on that where it's like, I don't want to be as impulsive. But again, it goes back to my grandmother. She really didn't teach me how to use my words and effectively think it through and thought out. Like, we can't always be perfect, right? But if we were trained and conditioned to know how to react in those moments, even the knee-jerking moments or the impulsive moments, like, we would better use our words. We would be able to set ourselves up to win, to be able to talk it through. Like, hey, you know what? I know you're out right now. I know you're having a good time and I don't want to shit on that, you know, but, you know, I saw your location and I just want to know where you're at, who you're with, and then that's it. Like, even if you want to use it in your own way or spin it, or hey babe, is everything okay, like, you know, just checking in, like, what's up, where you at, like, you know, whatever. Like, there's a way to do these things, whereas you go directly to like, hey, where the fuck you at, bitch? I mean, I don't say stuff like that, but like, you know, what the fuck, like, you trying to play with me or what? Like, because that's how I am. But and again, Chris is cheating. I don't think Chris is stepping out. I don't think he's doing anything like that. Now, if I'm being truthful as well, do I have my moments of insecurity? Yes. Do I go back to, everybody does. Well, everybody does because of your past experiences, you know?
Well, not only that,
you don't want anybody to play with you. And I'm in a long distance relationship. Yeah, it's very normal.
That part right there. I was going to say, because you have so much distance like in between you, which, you know, of course, you know, with Zach and various other people I've tried to date long distance, like, that is the insecurity part. It's just that, it's like, even when you're together, you're close, right? But you know that at some point you have to kind of go to your respective corners. So it's harder for you to kind of like fathom is this going to be forever? Are we going to make it to the first year, the second year, the third year? Because you start to have like these little doubts of like, well, you know, if he goes out this next upcoming week or whatever, what are the chances that he might find somebody he has all the great qualities that I do, but is so much closer?
Yeah. You know? No, dude, that's a real fucking thing. Like, that's what makes me scared of my relationship sometimes, is that. Okay. What if fucking Chris finds someone just like me there at the bar or out having fun with his friends? He just stumbles upon him. Serendipitous. Oh, my God. Even worse. Yeah. It's fucking meant to be. And then it's like me, but in another form with a better ass, a bigger dick, a better physique. Like, it's that fucks with me. I'm not going to lie. Like, it does. Like, it doesn't, like, keep me up at night, right? But I would be lying to say that I don't worry about or overthink. Like,
you know, like I told you, for the first month, I remember that was one of the things that fucked with me and Zachary. But I was always honest with him. I think what happened at one point was, I think it was like the first month, I said, hey, I said, can you do me a favor? And he was like, what's up? I said, I know that you and I...
Can you Venmo me $1,000?
No. No, I told him, I was like, hey, I said, you know, I know that you and I happen to be very sexual nature people, and I know that you're telling me about your past and all that stuff, and I think it's really attractive, but I'm not going to lie. I said, I feel like it's targeting and hitting all my insecurities. And he was like, well, do you want to talk about it? And I said, yeah. I said, if you don't mind, I said, he was like, well, what has you triggered? And I said, I think that it's mentally a reminder that you have these pulls at your leisure. And I think that for me, I'm just worried that how do I know you're not going to just up and leave me for somebody who's so local? And he starts laughing. He was like, that's a good question. He goes, I've tried here locally. He goes, and I'm always finding men that I'm attracted to who don't live here because there isn't anything in my backyard and I've tried, you know? He goes, so I know that you won't necessarily believe me when I say that you have nothing to worry about. He goes, but you have nothing to worry about. But then again, it's like when somebody tells you not to feel something, you kind of have to just let it ride out. And it sucks because it's like I tell people, for me, when my mental starts to get to me, it's like venom, you know? Like, you can't just
brain is one of the darkest places to be sometimes when you're fucking overthinking.
Oh, my God.
And it's deadly. Like, it could.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a rabbit hole. It's like an endless fall. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like Alice in Wonderland. Remember when she goes through that tree and she just keeps falling and falling and falling?
Yeah, because like she was chasing the rabbit she was fucking. No, I'm sure. She's
trying to fuck.
Right, because he had a gold chain. Look at her.
I'm late for a very important date.
Right.
Oh, I love Alice in Wonderland. You stupid.
oh, my God. Like, the things that used to bother me, like, I remember I'd be okay one day. And all of a sudden, I don't know what it would be, but, like, this little missile of venom, you know, like, would just hit my brain. And then, boom, there goes all my insecurities right there. And then I'm like, God.
Hey, you know, I don't want to speak for Chris on his behalf, right? Because this is all from my lenses, my optics, my point of view. But he doesn't have those moments. Well, not as much. Not enough to tell me. Because, you know, our love languages are very different. Like, he's not a needy person. I'm a very needy person. Like, this is my first time ever doing a long distance relationship. I usually don't believe in them. But Chris is like, I'm not saying he prefers them, but he's okay with them because he still gets his space. You know, he comes from a place where he enjoys his space. He likes his space. You know, he's appreciative of his space, you know, of his peace. He enjoys that. And he's openly admitted that sometimes he enjoys it a little bit too much, where it can be kind of detrimental to some of his relationships, you know? So he's okay with this. And I won't lie too, there was, me and my sister, we have a lot of heart-to-hearts, kind of like how me and you do, right? Because, she, you know, I'm not going to put her business out there, but she's currently going through something. So she's like, you know, sometimes from her optics, she says, I feel like someone who is completely comfortable in a long distance relationship, it's because it's a training wheels to a real relationship. They're actually not fully committed and not ready for one, but they're giving the illusion that they are. And that stuck with me for a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. And again, that was me overthinking something that someone told me, someone that I love, right? And my sister's not trying to plant a seed, but me and her, you know, we can be one and the same. We used to be one and the same, right? Because we're she's still reactionary. I'm not as reactionary, but she's kind of working on it. Well, not kind of, she's really not working on it. But anyways, but I'm really, really, really working on it because I'm in intense therapy. But yeah, it stuck with me because I'm like, wait, is that what Chris is? Is that why he's so comfortable? Because really, he's not ready to fully commit to a relationship. And this is kind of something where he's just using to mask, to use me.
Yeah, what's the level of comfort?
Because he's not really ready.
I was going to say it's a level of comfort because, not a level of comfort, I'm sorry. You know, people sit there and people used to always tell me about like why people chose to be in long distance relationships. And people would be like, oh, because, you know, you get the satisfaction of being in a relationship, but not actually being together. So you still have someone at arm's length distance. And it's like, and don't get me wrong. Like, I think, remember I told you, like, especially when it came to me in the past, everybody always would say, oh my God, you must have men flocking at you and knocking on your fucking door. And I'd be like, no, I've been checking through the peephole. Nobody's there. I was going to say, I think people
challenge that, right? Mm-hmm. But you do, Gio. Like, just because they want to fuck you doesn't mean that they value you.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's the truth of it all. Just because you're this sex symbol, oh my God, like...
I'm the Janet Jackson of our generation.
Oh my God. No. Anyways, when Chris hears this, he's going to be really offended because he's a huge Janet Jackson fan. I mean, huge. I got him tickets for Valentine's Day to see her. I think it's in June or July. But anyways, he's like huge. He's a huge fucking fan. And like how you are with Aaliyah. He's going to be like, no, the fuck he's not. Anyway,
I'll be like, Chris, don't.
You got your ass, a dick, a titty out. Does not make you Janet Jackson.
I'll be like, Chris, don't fuck this up because we will report to Ticketmaster that them tickets is fraudulent. Okay.
No.
Your scalper. No.
What do you mean, scouter? Is it scalper or scouter?
No, it's a scalper because I think maybe it's a scout. I don't know. You know me.
Ticket scouting,
me vocabulary words.
I don't know. Sure. Whatever.
No, but like I told you, I think this is the misguided illusion of people. Is sometimes they will look at you from a physical standpoint and think, oh my God, because you look like, and you look a certain way, like, oh my God, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it's not as easy. I think people like the idea of a physical aspect, but they forget the other mental and emotional aspect of what it takes to actually be with somebody.
Yeah.
Because again, like you can look like a goddess, you can look like, I mean, whatever you're into, right? Long hair, don't care. Baldy, you know, as you know, Tommy from the Rugrats,
brown black
whatever.
Wife.
Yeah,
white,
right.
Yeah, I said white.
You know, you can look like
brown,
whatever.
Black, white. Brown, black, white.
You know what's crazy is like real talk. And this is just like just a random thing is, you know, I always hated how they used to color associate Asians with the color yellow. They're not yellow. They're more like a tan color, you know? So anyways, that's a super random thought. I don't know why I thought that, but whatever. Because when people are like black, white, yellow, I'm like, they're not yellow. They never were. People who have like yellow skin have hepatitis. I'm just saying. Anyway,
jaundice.
No,
well, I think they can have hepatitis too, but
no, because
jaundice is usually a sign of, well, it's in your eyes. Anyways, yeah. We're going off topic.
that's ADHD for you. But yeah, you know, like, because, you know, kind of like harping back to that whole, you know, TBRU situation is like, that was my first event in a while, right? And it was one of those things where, like, we started it from day one and we ended it to day five because it started Wednesday night at the underwear party, then Thursday was the opening ceremony, then Friday was the bear dance, then Saturday was like the contestant things majigger or whatever, and then Sunday was the tea party, you know. And I'm not gonna lie to you, like, it was a good experience, don't get me wrong. A lot was just a lot, you know. And I realized that, like, yo, you know, there is just, I can't do this shit on a regular. It's just not in my, it's not in my DNA anymore. But that's okay. That's no. I mean, like, it's not that I'm opposed to not doing it again. It's just that.
So do you feel like your gay festivities days are over?
Oh, excuse me. I had a pen on my nose. No.
You fucking powder ranger.
Oh my God, a powder ranger. Oh my God, that's what we call cokeheads. We're gonna cokeheads.
That's why I said that. To powder my nose.
Yes.
I was like, okay, powder ranger.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, she's a powder ranger. Look at you.
It's ketamine time. I'm just joking. anyways, we need to trademark that fast before these little gangs take it and shit.
Oh my god.
No, but it's not that. It's you want to know what it was, and I'll kind of like be a little bit mysterious or cryptic with this.
Mm-hmm.
When I ran into certain somebody from my past, I mean, don't get me wrong. Zach and I were there to work because we're hustling the shit out of this content, trying to like just, you know, do what we got to do for that. Right.
Yeah.
But when I saw this person, I had to come to terms with certain stuff that I thought I had suppressed or kind of got over, and I didn't. And it was just a reminder, probably Friday night more than ever, about where I wanted to be at. And I knew that I wasn't going to get it in this kind of this venue. No shot to people who do. It's just that, I don't know. It's kind of like one of the reasons why I loved Aaliyah is because, like, when you asked her about her personal life, she was like, no, it's off topics. You know what I'm saying? Like, she says, I want to keep some, you know, some mystery to myself.
Yeah, privacy. About, like,
yeah, you know?
Just don't have your privacy. Yeah.
The thing about those, like, events, I don't think that there's really such a thing as privacy. Because
our entire lifestyle, our community, who we are, there's no such thing as privacy. We live out in the open, you know?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think that, like, you know, I told you the story and stuff about who it was and what happened and stuff. I don't know. Like, I know I'm not even gonna sit there and sugarcoat it. It just changed. I was grateful to be there for the event because it did what it needed to do, but at the same time, it was just kind of like, it was a reminder that I knew that this was going to happen to a degree, like the reevaluation process at the end. And, you know, I just,
so I don't, what does that do for your relationship now that you've realized, I don't think I'm fully, I don't think I'm the person anymore who likes to go to these events.
It's not that. So this is the part about me that I'm going to be like open and honest about. Exclusive. when I'm emotionally, mentally secure in everything that I want, you know what I'm saying? Like when my relationship's at the healthiest and whoever I'm talking to at that moment, you know, aside from my relationship, where everything's going great. Fuck yeah. I will want to do anything and everything. But when it starts to get rocky or things start to shift in a way that doesn't favor what I'm ultimately looking for is when my mood changes. Because at that point, it's just kind of like, that's why I had to own up to like certain stuff about when I go to events, am I enjoying it or am I just being there just to be there? You know what I'm saying? And when I'm at the event, I couldn't help but just think about this one specific person. And you know, the good thing about it is we saw each other every day for the most part. You know, we talked it, we chopped it up and, you know, we talked and, you know, I'm hoping that there's a rekindle process there because to a degree, he's ultimately who I was always looking for in other people when shit didn't go right. And it didn't go right because no disrespect to the people that I attempted with, but there's a difference between authentic and synthetic and everybody else was synthetic to his authenticity. And you know, I think that for me, like I told you this, I don't remember when I told you this, but for me, I think that I've always been a relationship type of guy, you know? So like now that I am engaged with Zachary and stuff, and I'm trying to find out what this poly relationship means to me, I'm trying to find that poly person, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, I'm still relationship oriented. So like everything else is just added extra, not primary, you know? If that makes any sense, you know? So, I mean, I enjoy them for what they are, but I just don't think that I could. I think that
right now you're focused on other things. Yeah. You realize that. You went there, you know, you indulged, you had a little fun, but ultimately you just realize, you know what, I need to be focused on other things. My career, getting this business off the ground, and then possibly making someone else, and you know, bringing someone else in as a third.
Yeah. Right? And you know what's crazy is like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like after everything, I remember after I told him what I told him and stuff, and like I stopped him in his tracks to tell him, I was like, look, I need to get this off my mind right here in front of you because I've been holding this in for almost a year. And I remember telling him that was the dynamic of everything else changing. Like people who I was letting come up and touch me and make out with me, I stopped real quickly. I was like, I'm sorry. It's not that you're not attractive. It's not that whatever. It's just that I'm looking at the person across the way from you right now, and that's where I want to be. And I can't be there if I'm doing all this. Now, other people can sit there and be like, oh, fuck him. You know, have the time of your life, make out with whoever. That's cool if it works for you. Like, no shots, no digs. It's never worked for me in that way. So I have to kind of like look at the formula that works for me and not compare it to somebody else's formula.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about me for like 45 minutes. But let me ask you a couple questions, Ray, since, you know, they always say I talk more than you do. But that's okay. But that's okay now.
In his life and on the podcast.
Right? But you know what, though? You have that face and those ears to listen. So God bless you. Okay? Hey, bitch. No, but all right. So keeping in the question of the realm, let's talk about fears, okay? This is going to be like fear factor, you know?
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Right? But this is going to call, we're going to call it Jotito factor. but no, like, okay, in like a very dark, twisted universe, or you know what, we'll do like a dark, twisted fantasy, you know, kind of thing. If you had to paint a picture of how Chris would cheat on you, how would you detail it?
you know, because we're long distance, right? Because, you know, again, long distance can, I'm not saying it puts a damper on everything, but it tends to have more of room for insecurity, overthinking, you know, just pretty much letting your mind wander and anything could happen, right? Someone could live a double life, even though people live double lives all the fucking time and they have their partner right next to them in the bed, you know? I think. So for me, because again, Chris is not here, so I'm not really going to speak on him and his past and everything, but you know, Chris does have a past, like everyone, you know, but he's told me a little bit, we've opened up a lot. He's opened up a lot. So just based off of his past and who he was or who he can be or what's in him, I feel like my idea of how he would cheat would be he's transactional. So he loves me. He wants a relationship with me. I'm the person that he's with. He's the person. I'm the person he calls, he goes to, all those things. But when he needs his dick to be wet, he'd go and slide, you know, slide with somebody. Slide means, you know, like, you know, he fall through and get his dick sucked. And then from the occasional primal fuck, you know, but that's it. He wouldn't kiss them. He wouldn't do anything to them. They would do everything to him. So I feel like if Chris was cheating or did cheat, that's how, in my mind, in my twisted, darkest part of my mind, that fantasy world, that dark realm, he would be a transactional cheater. Like how the old school people were back then, right? Like the old school gangsters. I'm not equating him to a gangster, but you know how, like, they love their women, they give them the world, they do this, they do that, they cater to them, they cherish them. You know, like, Chris is real big about that when, you know, we're having sex. He knows how to woo me. He knows how to sort of speak life into me. He knows how to make me feel, oh God, cheesy, beautiful when we're having sex. So I know that Chris loves me. I know that Chris is in love with me. I know that Chris wants this relationship. I know that me and Chris are together. I know that it is only me. But again, if I had to sit here and give you an idea of how my mind thinks when I go to that dark place, he would be a transactional cheater. Someone who would only get his dick wet when he needed to because I wasn't there. And because I'm not saying Chris is both in the sense of he can be poly and monogamous, but he understands both of them. He's been in all those situations. You know, he's a bisexual man, like he said on our podcast when we interviewed him. You know, he enjoys sex. So,
ooh, that's even a good question. Let me ask you a question. If you added to your fear, what gender would he cheat on you with?
I don't worry about women as much, and I probably should. I thought that if I would ever be with a bisexual man, it would be, I would have to worry about females, women. Sorry, I don't want to say females, women. You know, like, I don't worry about that. I don't worry about women. I worry more so much. I worry more about men than I do women, because men are more dangerous than women sometimes. And nowadays, like, the modern man is so in touch with his sexuality that it's almost like they're able to be like, I can get my dick sucked by a man and still be considered straight, which I'm not taking away from any of that, right? Because sometimes when you're in tune with yourself sexually, like, if you're a sex positive person, sometimes you know what we call pansexual, they just may call transactional. And that's why I would label Chris, if he was doing that, or if he did that, and again, I want to reiterate this, in the darkest part of my overthinking brain, Aquarius Latino brain, you know, he would be a transactional cheater. And he would be not only a transactional, like, in the sense of getting his dick wet, but also he would have to benefit from that in some way. I'm not going to go into that, but, you know, I'm saying he would have to benefit in that, where it's like, even if he was to keep, like, a couple people on the roster that were transactional, it'd be like, oh, because they're also, like, throwing him money or paying something or doing something. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, that's where my deepest, darkest thoughts would go to. If I had to sit here and say Chris was cheating on me, or he did cheat on me, this is where my brain would go. I'm just giving y'all a
insider scoop.
Yeah, an inside look to how my brain thinks when I go to those places, which is not very often, right? Because Chris doesn't really bring out that insecurity in me. When it comes out, the relationship brings out that insecurity in me because of so much distance, because I've never done this before.
All right, let me keep digging, because I'm a grave digger.
You're stupid.
So, all right, cool. So we didn't ask you to fear. We didn't ask you the gender you fear if this happened. Now, which one do you think would do more damage to you in this little dark, twisted fantasy? You catching it in the act, or you hearing about it through the streets?
Bro, are you fucking with me right now? God damn. No. I'm going to get triggered off this motherfucking episode. And I'm going to just take it out.
Chris right now. Excuse me.
Shenanigans
like the party.
He's stupid. I don't think I would. Okay.
Again, this is a twisted fantasy. I'm just saying, which one do you think would do you more of an emotional, mental, and maybe a psychological, you know?
Fuck. I feel like someone telling me, like, me finding out and someone coming to me, like, basically coming to me with all this proof. And then I'm not physically there to see it, because I've never told Chris this, or maybe I have. Like, if anybody was to ever come to me with some proof, God, this is going to sound so fucked up. This is going to sound really fucked up. And I mean, it was 100% solid, concrete proof. Like, I caught you dead in your tracks. You're going straight to jail. Don't collect $200. Security. You know, I would probably stop talking to Chris, like, automatically block him and never speak to him again. Not even give him a rhyme or reason. Just completely cut him off. Because if you have the nerve and the audacity to do something like that to me, and then someone else comes and tells me, and I find out from the streets, and it's legitimately 100% true. Like, if there was fucking video of it, right? Like, if the guy that he was fucking with recorded it, but I couldn't see Chris's face, but I saw his tattoo on his stomach, on his thigh. Like, I'm really good. I'm very fucking observant. Not that it takes a rocket scientist to do that, but I'd be able to tell, and I'm able to actually see a date or whatever, or see something that I saw when I was there last week, like, that's still by his nightstand or something, where I'm able to identify, because I'm that good. I'll be like, oh, that's been there for a week. I remember that when I was there. So anyway, so it has to be recent or something like that, where I'm able to identify that this was very recent, and not like, because even when me and Chris were talking, I've told him this, like, between September and November when we got together, if anything happened, that's none of my business. If you were talking to somebody, sending dick pics, flirting with somebody, maybe even a fuck or kiss or something, but when we made it official, that 11-11-11-12, that's my business. That's when you started lying to me. That's when you're being deceitful. Anything before that, none of my fucking business. So if somebody comes to me with somebody on October 31st for Halloween, and they have been fucking, sucking, and doing it all night, and there's video of it, none of my fucking business, bro.
Boy, did you mean, did you mean 11/11/22? Because 11,
11, no, 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 no. I meant because we want to be cute and consider it 11/11 because that's Veterans Day, right? Because he's a veteran. But he technically asked me on 11/12 while we were at Meow Wolf. And what is it? Was it, where did we go? From, oh, Denver, when we were in Colorado. Yeah, so that's why I say we go back between 11/11 or 11/12.
You said he did this at Meow Wolf because he think you pussy and a dog at the same time?
You know what? You know what? The best of both worlds. I'm a bitch and a dude. Oh my God,
he thought you was cat dog. Oh my God, he thought you was cat dog.
Okay, Nickelodeon, calm down. You know what, Nick Cannon? But anything before that, it's none of my fucking business, bro. There's nothing I can do about it because we weren't official. Yeah, we were talking, we were getting to know each other, but if anybody came to me on something, even if it was 11/10 or 11/9, like November 9th or November 10th, none of my fucking business, bro, because we weren't together. And I stand on that. And I'm openly saying that because I'm going to stand on it. So if someone comes to me on some bullshit like that, oh, we were talking between July and we'll just throw a number out there, November 10th. Okay, that's none of my fucking business. I won. I don't know what to tell you. I won.
I win, you lose.
Exactly. Like, what you want me to say, bro? Like, too bad?
So sad, right? No, yeah. But you know what, though? Look at that. Insider scoop. No.
Well, I want to ask you that, too. So, because, you know, I know that you're different because you come from the poly world. And you and Zach are very open and honest. And you guys play together. Sometimes you play individually, you know, every now and then. But
I'm not gonna lie, I'm ready to answer this question. It's gonna go in a different direction than you think you're it's gonna go, yeah. But it's the real.
Okay, so let's not start with the cheating. Let's start with, okay, I want to ask this and then you can ask me. If your partner was to ever leave you for something that they've been constantly telling you to work on or you should work on or some type of flaw, right? That they've kind of just been like, you know what? I love you and I'm trying to sit here and push through and wait for you to get to a better place to work on this. What do you think Zach would leave you for? Honestly, What do you think he would leave you for?
But it's one of the reasons why he left me back in 2020. Remember?
Speak on it.
Sorry. Right.
You know what? We're taking this to Patreon part two. I'm just kidding. No, go ahead. We don't get paid for this.
No, what happened was in 2020, Zach started to have his integrity compromised. Okay. At that point, it's because of how he was raised and who helped raise him, and what his beliefs at the time were in regards to, like, you know,
those Southern Baptists. I'm just kidding.
But again,
no disrespect to Baptists. I'm just being funny. Just being
cool. Nah, fuck y'all. I'm sure.
Oh my God, okay. You stupid.
Well, if you're a homophobe, you know, all them other things.
It's still fuck y'all. It's still fuck y'all.
It's gang, okay? Gang. because he had worked so hard for his career, he was super scared of having me be this almost rampage of a figure who was just going to sit there and put it out, didn't care. And then it was going to fall back and make him look bad or make him
lose bite him in the butt with his career. They're going to find out that he was doing OnlyFans.
Well, not even that, but he was associated with an individual who did not tell him that he was, you know what I'm saying? Not a revenge porn, but like almost like he didn't have a say so. Almost like a coerced kind of thing, I guess, maybe. Anyways. So
you were grooming him. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Taking over the Christians. So when I had my solo Twitter, it was nothing about Zach, which is primarily about me. It's just that like there were moments and stuff where he was in the video, but his face wasn't showing. He was very much like, all they got to do is trace you where you live and who you're in a relationship with. And boom, I remember thinking like, he had told me like, and I remember he pleaded and he was just like, please stop that. He's like, you just don't know. And I ignored it. I ignored every fucking warning sign he gave me. And I even tried to like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I tried to manipulate him into thinking it was okay. But not because I was manipulated in a sense of like trying to.
Well, get it worked. He's all over. I'm just kidding.
It was more like a, why do you care what other people think kind of situation. But I should have been listening to him and asking him, why is it bothering so much? Ultimately got to the point where it broke him. And don't get me wrong, we ended up making up 3 months later and stuff. And then, of course, look at where we're at now. And if you asked him, he'd be like, oh, my God, you know, like, it's just he doesn't care. But he still kind of has that lingering fear, I guess, you know, which is one of the reasons why, like, you know, I get it. And, you know, and I respect it. But like I tell him, at the end of the day, Zach, you're not doing anything that these other people aren't doing. You're just choosing to go about it in a different route. You're not the stock market.
You know, and you're getting paid for it.
Yeah, you're not at Wall Street with these white boys taking from the, you know, the people who don't have it and finessing them into.
And listen, I could never do that. I'm saying that if you're going to do it, at least you're getting paid for it.
Right? Yeah. And the thing about it, though, is it's like we're not telling people to give us money. We're just showing them why they should spend money. You see what I'm saying? It's no different from like we're not. I mean, again, and no shots fired. We're not like strippers who sit there and like, you know, tell you that persuasive language. You're like, oh, daddy. You know,
well, okay, hold on. Because I am not about to allow you to sit here and
shit I'm not on shitting on them. No, no, no.
Sex but, work. Everyone's a sex worker to some degree.
No. What I'm saying is, like, I don't, like, it's just not my hustle to sit there and use persuasion words. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm not a great salesperson. I will show you what we got. And if you like it, come holler. You see what I'm saying?
But Okay. So then I'm kind of going to challenge that. So do you think when you're doing the OnlyFans, the sex that you guys are having, right?
It's like real.
The pounding, the primal, the intensity, the gore of it all, right? The blood.
Al Gore.
Do you think that's reality?
Yes. Ours is 100% reality because, again, we don't stage shit. I swear to God. No, baby.
No, but I'm saying is the passion, like the passion and the intensity of it always like that? Like when you and Zach are having sex, is it like that?
Well, you know what? It's one of the things that we had to kind of like implement a little bit. Again, kind of like how I told you the whole Aaliyah privacy thing, you know? It's
okay.
Zach and I will.
I mean, you don't have to talk about it. I don't want to.
I don't care. Okay. Bitch. I'm not a bitch. No. So it's one you can ask anybody who's filmed with us and they'll tell you the exact same thing. We don't go to fucking immediately as soon as they come here or we go there or whatever. We divulge. We put time into getting to know each other. We put time into talking and conversing and asking general questions like, hey, what, you know, just to get to know that person, because like I swear to God, on my mama's life, we tell them we understand there's sex, there's anxiety with sex, and then there's sex, there's anxiety with sex with strangers, and then there's the ultimate anxiety. The anxiety of sex with strangers on camera.
Camera, yeah.
So
I mean, can you admit that it's a little bit of a show?
No. Because I swear, again, I'm not an actor. And you know me, I don't have the greatest of poker faces, which is one of the reasons why Zach said if he ever ran for a political campaign, he'd hide me somewhere because he knows that my facial expressions would just be dead. Like, I couldn't just be stone cold. You know what I'm saying? Like,
She ain't no Joe Biden. She ain't no Hillary Clinton.
No, she ain't.
She could never be a first lady. She could never be a first gay. She could never. No.
could you imagine? I'd be the first person, like, to join a gang just to sit there and have security. Black on blood. On blood.
You so dumb. In your booty shorts and take I can't wait.
Right? Am I Montclair?
You stupid. So
no, but you know what?
Except he ain't getting beat up. Okay, he ain't getting beat up in no gym. Okay,
I'm gonna tell you right now. You jump me. I swear to God, I'm gonna grab rubber bands. I'm gonna grab shoestrings and dumbbells. I don't care.
You're gonna tear that place up.
I'm about to MacGyver the shit out of you. Oh, I swear to God. Anyways, no, but it's you have to understand. Like, I don't. Knock people who do stage porn, like, it's get it how you live it, right? Yeah. But at the end of the day, I don't know how to be anybody else but me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I don't enjoy something, if I'm not liking something, like, in order to be erect at that moment, you know, you'll tell. And don't get me wrong, we have worked with people who have absolutely no problem doing the stage porn, but we tell them, please don't bring that around us because we will know, and it'll affect everything that you see on camera. Yeah. You know? So again, like I said, I'm not shitting on anybody how they get their money. It's just the difference between them and me is I can admit to being 100% authentic from start to finish, and they can't.
Okay, so since we're kind of tailoring these questions to how our relationships move, function, and just evaluating from that aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm not trying to make it about OnlyFans. So.
Oh, but hold on. Sorry, but to answer your question, the one thing that I think that Zach would leave me on is one of my biggest fears is that somehow haven't mastered the career route, and he has. And that's one of the reasons why.
But I've always told you, right? Because we've talked about this often.
Oh, yeah. But there's a difference between being a hustler.
Entrepreneur. No, yeah. you're more of an entrepreneur. That's like a more professional way of saying a hustler. But you are. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're just. And that's why when you guys are embarking on this new endeavor, you know, that you're going to talk about later, you know, mm-hmm. once everything is legitimate, you know, I feel like this would be more your lane where you can kind of just sit back and watch the money come in. Obviously, that's later on down the line because everything has a startup struggles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's going to be certain things and you guys are probably going to struggle. Hopefully not. I don't wish that on you, but there's always startup struggles with any business, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you're more of an entrepreneur mindset where Zach is a career woman, a career
right
man, you know.
I know what you're looking for. Yeah. Careers? No,
oh, we're just three young career women passing through.
Yes, I know what you career girls really want. Careers. I just love that part. No, but you know what? I mean, and I agree with you. Again, it's an insecurity thing for me, right? Mentally, it's because I've seen Zach go from making 45 to 65 to 75 to now, you know, undisclosed amount.
He's six figure. private jets. We saw them. I heard about them. Instagram posts.
Right.
Also, I heard Zach's been posting a lot more thirst traps too.
Oh, you know what?
Word on the street is he's showing
asking me. I was like, he keep asking me when you finna come back on Instagram. I was like, fuck Instagram. I don't make no money. But you know what though? It's for me. It's because I look at Zach and I love his work ethics, and he is the prime example. Yeah. I even say this about you with him. Like, if I had to sit there and give my top three people on whose work ethics are just like chef's kiss, mm-hmm. it'd be my mom, Zach, and you. Because my mom,
she get it out.
She went from selling
businesses.
I'm gonna say she went from selling heavyweight to losing it all.
Facts.
I'm just saying, like, to start, you know what I'm saying? But that's one of the reasons why my mom has kind of like just humbled down. You know, she turns 50 this year. She
went from being a mistress to a mistress of a CEO.
Right. She said, no, she went from a mistress to don't miss this. Ooh, I'm sure. Hey, you stupid, bro.
That's a bar.
Right?
That's a bar.
Nikki, holla at me.
He wants to be on your label, Nikki. Sign in.
All right,
sign
hold on. I know this. I got to sit there and say this super randomly because right now it just came in my mind. Remember I told you with Jessica Alba and Honey when she was talking to Mekhi Phifer? She was like, I teach hip-hop at the center. And he was like, at the center? What the fuck do you mean? Stupid. She could have just said center. I just find that it's just hilarious. It's just in my mind. Anyways.
Jessica Alba doesn't act anymore because she owns like $1 billion company. It's called Honest Company.
I teach hip-hop at the center. Sit your ass up. I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face, bitch. I remember when you had just gotten your job at the place you had gotten, you know, you've been there for seven, almost 8 years now. And I remember thinking like, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, and especially in how you got it, in how it was supposed to end and how you remixed it. You see what I'm saying?
So yeah, this was almost 8 years ago, you know,
and I appreciate that shit.
And I made myself into an asset. They didn't even have that position, was purely contractor. And it was just like, I made myself into an asset that they created a position for me.
Oh yeah.
That's how it all started. Yeah.
Well, and it's also one of the reasons why for me, I have struggled in that department because I don't know how to fake it to make it. Either I genuinely enjoy it or I don't. So even with Zach, I've been with him for over almost 4.5 years now. I've seen him work jobs he hated. I've seen him work jobs that has mentally fucked with him. I've seen jobs that have brought him nothing but joy. And, you know, for me as his partner, like, it bothered me at moments when I would see him put himself in these unhealthy situations. But even he would tell me, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just not have a job? And I'd be like, yeah. But because for me, it's just like, I'm not going to compromise my mentality for fucking something, you know, X amount of dollars an hour. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather walk away saying,
and you're just not good for somebody reporting to anybody. You like to be your own boss.
I've always heard it for years. You're meant to work for you. I think you're meant to work for yourself. Yeah, and I remember thinking to myself, but I remember I used to hate when people tell me that. But like, no.
I've been telling you was Polly and you need to be your own boss.
But no, like for me, it was just more like I thought that was just, I'm not going to lie to you. Most of the reason why I bucked at that was because I was like, that's too much work. And I didn't like the thought of it.
It's scary.
I didn't like the thought of that.
being in charge of your own business, signing your own checks. Listen, oh, yeah. I write my own songs like I write my own checks. Ariana Barr,
right? How do they say it? Checks over stripes.
Wait, what? That did not land. I don't know what you mean by that.
No, it was a Drake line. He said checks over stripes, Nike over Adidas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the GOAT. That's Drizzy. Holla at me. That was, again, like I said, my insecurity has always been work ethics when it comes to Zach. Because I want to match him bar for bar. And don't get me wrong, he goes, since we've been back together and we live together, you have shown me, because like, there's been a couple of hands you've been dealt some shitty, you know, cards. He goes, but you never give up. He goes, that's the reason why I'm still with you and why I still believe in you, is because you've never given me a reason to believe you've given up. And I'm like, well, you know, again, for me, not ever knowing where I was going to be at, you know, as a kid and stuff, like, you know, when it came to like living establishments, you know. One of my biggest fears is being homeless. I'm not gonna lie, it's one of my biggest fears.
Yeah.
So I just, like I told Zach, I will go selling drugs. I don't give a fuck. Because for me, it's just like, and I say this respectfully speaking, so I'm not shitting on the homeless population when I say this, but I could never be a street corner sign holder. I'd rather go rob every fucking establishment than to do that. Because something about for me, no, but it takes a lot of balls. It takes a lot of balls to do that. And I think that for me, I'd rather go commit crimes than to ask for a handout. And I kind of fucked up.
No, I hear you. And I think it's like, kind of fucked up. No, but you know, like a lot of, I wouldn't call them handouts, but like helping, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've told you in the past, like we were born into this world. Like a lot of people think, you know what? I'm not going to ask anyone for help. You know, me included. I'm pretty big on that. You know, if anything, I lead the fucking, you know, crusade on that. The head of, but what I've learned through therapy a lot is that you're into this world being helped. Someone helped guide you out of your mom. Someone helped create you. So we've all been, even the birth of us was from the help of someone else. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with asking for help. I'm still learning that. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm learning to ask for help. So but just think of it like
me,
that.
Yeah,
but I know handout versus help are two different things. You're totally right. But I just kind of wanted to speak on that.
Yeah, but I think that for one of the reasons why I think I kind of like get, not, I wouldn't say disappointed or agitated. It's more like I kind of want to just be like to the people, like, what if you're still on this corner tomorrow, does that mean that yesterday was no better? So if it's a consistent basis, it's just like, why would you want to keep putting yourself in this predicament hoping that something changes? Because we as people have now, remember, I think I asked you this a while back, and it was a very, very fucked up question. It was a very fucked up question, but I remember asking people like, hey, you know, like how many times a week do you give money to the homeless? And a lot of people would be like, I don't really give them money. You know, when I see them, I kind of ignore them. And I'm like, okay, cool, 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 you know? And I remember asking, I was like, all right, cool. What happens if one day you found out that every single homeless person was rounded up and executed? And they were just like, oh my God, why the fuck? And I'm like, well, why would you want to start caring now? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you want to start caring now when you chose so many of the opportunities in these days to just ignore their existence? But now this unfortunate situation has taken place, but now you want to care? I'm like, everybody only wants to care when death is involved. You know, and again, I'm not saying everybody. Mm. I'm just saying
that no, a majority but that's most of the world. Yeah. You know, just like everyone congregates when someone passes away. Oh my God, you're such a good person. Oh my God, like,
right?
I'm gonna miss them. Or oh my God, me and you. Like I remember, like bro, give me my flowers now while I'm alive. Yeah. Be there for me while I'm alive. Like, what's the point of all that? Like,
yeah,
of course, reminisce. But when you reminisce, don't let there be any guilt where you felt like, you know, there was a stone unturned. I never got to tell them how much I cared or loved them or showed them
for that. Yeah, you know what? It's crazy. Is like, I'm not gonna lie. If I had, like, I always used to tell people, if I won the lottery, I would go around giving jobs to homeless people. I wouldn't give them money. I'd give them jobs. I'd give them jobs to earn. So that way, at that point, they knew exactly what they got at the end. It was no finesse, no bullshit. I think I'd hire a lot of them to go pick up trash on the corner. Like on the streets, or like to help clean up the city and shit, I would. I would pay them by that. But again, a lot of people be like, oh my God, why would you do that? Why would you just give them help? Because if I'm the person who's constantly handing them money, they're going to be reliant on, they're going to rely on me. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So that's... I'd rather them rely on themselves, because at the end of the day, I'm here one day and gone the next. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, let me put you on.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of that whole, you know, teach a man how to fish, you know, or give a man a fish or whatever the hell that shit is.
I know what you mean. Teach him how to fish.
Yeah.
Learn how to fish. He'll get right, exactly. The food that he needs. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I've also learned that some people don't have any desire to change their position. Like, there are people who want to be 100% homeless. You know, there's also people who don't want to get off drugs. There is also people who don't want to get out of gangs. They love that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't force them. I
mean, we all have our vices. We're all trying to cope. You know, everyone is just hanging on by a thread. How you handle life, you know, is on you. Just be careful, be mindful, and don't overload.
I love how we got to this out of relationships.
Yeah, I was about to say we kind of like steered off topic. Okay, right? So back to
curb.
So you kind of talked about how Zach would end up leaving you, right? For a flaw or for something he wants you to work on. So how would you envision if the darkest part of your mind, of course, how would Zach cheat on you? Being that you know, guys are open.
You know, cheating doesn't scare.
What's the one thing that would get you out of your motherfucking seat and turn you into Billy Loomis on Zach?
You know, him cheating on me doesn't scare me at all. You know what scares me the most is, and I tell him this, and I told you this too, like there's moments when I'm laying next to him in bed and I'll start crying. It's that.
You tell me a lot of that. There's a lot of stories. Like,
right, I'm emotional.
No. I'm going to be you. I'm going to reenact you. You know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning and I woke up and I had to piss. And Zach brushed up on me with his ginger hair from the pit of his armpit. And I just love him so much. Like, I just looked at him and I was crying myself to sleep. And I hold him a little tighter. Literally, that's how the fucking story goes every single fucking time, bro. Red pit hair just brushed upon me. And I just knew I loved him so much and I would never forsake him, God.
Literally. You a bastard for that. No, what it is like, you know, to be honest with you, if I ever had to lose Zach to somebody, I would wish they would be me and way better. You know what I'm saying? Like, be there for him.
But to a protector. We've talked about this. But someone who's going to really protect him and take care of him. Because I know you're big on that with Zach.
But for me, the biggest fear that kind of shakes me to my core is that the night before will be the last time I get to hold him. That he'll go off to work or something happens and then I have to hear about it from a fucking doorknob, from a ring on the doorbell or a knock on the door or a phone call from his parents. That's the part that shakes me to my core, is that one day I'll have to just think about memories and be able to no longer create new ones. That's the part that worries me the most, to be honest with you. That's the reason why sometimes in the middle of the night, it's like I tell Zach, I believe in you and I know you can protect yourself. It's not you I worry about. It's the people that you encounter I worry about, which is one of the reasons why I think, to be honest with you, like if somebody like said, Giovanni, you know, here's a loaded handgun and I'm going to show you all the people who are going to cause harm to Zach. And I'm not going to tell you which one is going to be the one that is the most damaging, where like death is involved.
You take them all out.
There'd be no motherfucker. Motherfucker question asked.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. What was you saying? Because they all gone now. Yeah. Who next?
But that's because like I love Zach and I will ride or die for him. But at the same time, I even asked myself one day, would you kill for him? And I'd be like, yeah, I would. No questions. No questions asked.
So it's one day waking up and losing him, and that being the last time you ever get to hold him.
Yeah, really, and I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, yeah, not the cheating. Yeah, it's not that, you know, cheating, because you cheating to a degree. Yeah, I've been there. I mean, fuck, I was the cheater, right? But it's not that. It's just the knowing you're no longer here on Earth for me to be able to see you, or like to see a glimpse of you, or to read something about you. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that scares the shit out of me the most, and like. I remember even thinking about like, okay, cool. Like what happened, you know, when we get to the point of having kids, what happens if one of us is no longer here? And that part sucks because, you know, death is a part of life, right? Everybody, it's like one of my favorite Drake lyrics is, you know, everybody dies, but not everybody lives. And I've loved that song since that song came out when Moment for Life, I think that was like, 2014 or something. But yeah, that right there is one of the things that I worry about. And I don't. Sometimes, when that thought pops up and stuff, I'm able to just, you know, brush it off or whatever. But then there are like times where I just, like, I tell them, like, I might be mad at you, I might annoy you, or whatever the case may be throughout that day, week, or month, right? But when you go to sleep, I will sit there and kind of pray over him, you know, just to be like, that's my guy. I want nothing to happen to him. I'd rather it be me than him. But yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah. There's another question I had, but I fucking lost my thought. I'm trying to respark it. It was good too. I was like, fuck, this is a really okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, you know, we're gonna wrap this up.
Now I got 15 more minutes. I like this.
How much does your relationship scare you with Zach?
I don't know why I did that noise.
10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, obviously, but sometimes you have to.
My relationship doesn't scare me. I think that that's the part that I've now can fully accept. Because again, mind you, like when you take off the train wheels, when you take off the barbed wire and you take off the fucking little dynamite hidden areas and stuff about what shit could, you know, happen or blow up or whatever, and you just have like a roam free environment, you are able to breathe a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't fear the unknown. Because with us being open, with us being poly, you know, or at least me being more poly than him at the moment, we discuss everything. There's nothing that we've not gone. Like, we've had every possible argument you can have except for, like, the infidelity one. You know what I'm saying? Actually, no, I have to take that back. We've also, remember the whole, you know, situation back in 2020 and shit? Well, oh, boy. Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't fear my relationship because I think we've gone through a fucking bundle of issues. What I appreciate is how we've been able to survive after the fact. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because again, like when you live together, like your blended worlds are now one. So you are now eating, sleeping, pooping, fucking, you know, all that stuff under one roof. So I don't fear it. I think what I fear is, or maybe not fear, the part that makes me worry is it's almost like the Avengers. You know what I'm saying? Like, what other possible problem could come to us that tries to destroy us?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, we've gone against Loki. We've gone against, what was that man's name? The one that was a computer. Thanos? No, it was before Thanos.
You're talking about Jarvis? Is it Jarvis? No, it wasn't Jarvis. It was
It was that one who was like a Megatron. No, that was Megatron.
Yeah, it was Ultron.
Oh, yeah, Ultralight.
That's not what
Ultron is. Yeah, Ultron.
Which essentially was created by Jarvis. It was an extension, remember? Because
right? Fucking AI. See, people want to be talking about AI and shit. No, fuck that.
Iron Man.
No, see, we've gone from that. We've gone Loki to Ultron to I think it's Thanos, right? Now the new one is Kang or whatever.
And there are different variants of Kang.
Right?
They got a lot to take on. Good ones, bad ones, and really, really fucking evil ones.
You know, but that's like I said, I worry about those type of things. I like to give Zach the opportunity to roam. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I want him to be able to do the exact same thing I ask of him, you know? And I don't want him to ever be like, well, I've let you do this. No, go, you know? Like, I remember, because he's going to go to Atlanta for a work trip and stuff. And he asked me, like, hey, you know, do you mind if I stay an extra couple of days or whatever with so-and-so? And I'm like, no, go ahead. Just let me know where you're at because I've done it on him. You know what I'm saying? So I can't trip because I want him to be able to enjoy. But then, of course, he kind of looked at it and like, oh, you know, it's probably not a good time to be honest with you because I'm taking days off. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, like, hey, it's there if you want it, there if you don't. I think I'd say maybe a fair opportunity is I don't fear my relationship. I fear the obstacles that await my relationship. But not the pussy ass one either. You know what I'm saying? Not like the, oh, you left your drawers on the floor again. Not fuck all that. It's more like the, you know what? You got like white supremacy people trying to like come out and, you know, execute all of us. That kind of shit.
Yeah. So. The end of the world Tuesday.
Right? And then let me ask you that question. All right. From 1 to 10, how pussy are you?
He's so stupid. You know, so I'm going to frame it like this because Ianla was on the Breakfast Club. Ianla Van Zandt. I think I'm saying it right. She was on there. She's like a... she's this... I don't know how to explain it. She's like this coach life speaking ex-attorney who just has all this insight, life coach who's given, who saved a lot of people's lives. She's kind of reframed them on how to think and how to move in relationships and in their past trauma and everything. And there's like three things that stuck out to me where she says that that people still come to her about relationships. It was one, it was the image. Why it doesn't look the way I think it should look. So that's the one thing I'm struggling with in my relationship, right? So it's like, I thought it was going to look this way, but really now it's looking this way, which I'm working on in therapy where it's like, are you okay with your relationship turning out to be something that you didn't think it was? Like, are you okay with having another life? And ultimately, yes, I am. And then the other one is control, proving that they love me over and over. Biggest things that I struggle with in my relationship, and not just like with Chris, but in general, where it's like
the reassurance.
The reassurance, but also like, oh, he didn't do this. He must not love me like he said he does. He says he does. And that's not real. That is not real. Why do you constantly have to have the control of having someone prove over and over and over? So that's one big thing. And then the other one is the response. I don't always like the response. It's like when they give an answer, I don't like.
Well, it's remember, look at me, I'm wearing like double worrying. Remember when I listened to that DJ Envy interview? Remember about, interview. It was with him and his wife. They were doing that book tour or whatever, right?
Yeah, Gia.
Remember when she said in one of the, what is it called? When you like, not when it says, it was like a tour or some shit. Anyways, they asked her, you know, she goes, you know, I remember asking why he did it. And she's like, and trust me, she goes, never ask somebody why they cheat on you because you're never gonna like the answer. You know, but again, it's, I don't know, like a very cliche kind of question because you still want to piece it together and know what it was. And she says, and I fucking hated his answer. She goes, but I couldn't fault him because it was the most realest answer ever. She goes, and I asked him, why did you cheat? And he says, because I could.
No, that's real. Like, that's like saying I was horny and I wanted other pussy.
Yeah.
Like I've tasted and felt your pussy for the last 15 years that I was tempted. But
yeah.
And that's a real answer, but it's also not acceptable either. Where it's like, I mean, again, I can fight off temptation. Yo, why can't you fight off temptation? Because we're both agreeing into that.
Well, the thing about it though is think about this. Even Adam and Eve, right? Our prime example of temptation, especially when one of them is the one why the other person gets fucked. You know what I'm saying? She bit the apple of the forbidden fruit and then they got both, you know, thrown out of the kingdom or whatever the hell that was. No respect.
And that's how mankind started.
Right. Which is kind of
fucking stupid. That's how sin started. Yeah, that's how sin started.
Well, I'm not going to lie. That seems a little bit like when a cop says, I'm not a cop, and they arrest you after they tell you they're a cop. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, it sucks because like I know what you feel when it comes to like the whole long distance relationship. And then now I appreciate that you know how it felt at times when it came to me. But the one thing you got to kind of keep reminding yourself is, hey, you know what? There's really no reason. There's no rhyme or reason sometimes on why somebody makes you feel the way that they that you feel about them. And you just kind of keep pursuing it. You know what I'm saying? Even if it feels like all the alarms in your head because of what you taught and what you were told are just going off, fuck it. You only got one life to live. At the end of the day, at least the one person you're trying to fight for can never sit there and tell somebody you didn't fight for them.
Yeah, that's still not enough. And no, I'm just kidding. No, I know what you mean. Like, ultimately, I have no control over this. I have no control over anything. And I don't want this episode to kind of give the perception that I'm worried about my relationship. This episode is because we all have worries in our relationship. Sometimes we all get worried about our relationship. Sometimes our relationships scare us. That's the point of this. I wanted to humanize us. Not that we weren't human. You've seen a lot of like our flaws and we've talked a lot about our trauma, but we've never talked about our real-time relationships. And that's what this episode is based on, where we talk about like the real things that we struggle with in our relationships. And sometimes we're afraid of it. Like, that's the reality of it. We all get afraid of our relationships to on different levels, because for every level, there's a devil, like I always say. You know what I mean? There's always something to be challenged. There's always something to change. something, there's always an interference. So I wanted to really showcase that and show y'all that we too struggle. I'm not perfect. I am a work in progress. And I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm always going to be a fucking work in progress. So to go back to the question where it's like, I'm rating my relationship on 1 to 10, I'm not going to rate it. I'm just going to tell you what my worries are and what I need to work on. And that's what I need to work on is my image, my control, and the responses, because those are ultimately the three things that really make up my relationship in my head, where it's like, is it working or is it not working? My relationship's working, but again, we're still a work in progress, because for me, this relationship, this long distance relationship, it's different for me. It's a different walk. It's a different avenue. It's a different path. I've never been, this is uncharted territory for me. So, you know, I'm learning as I go, and me and Chris love each other. Like, we care a lot about each other, and we'll do anything to make it work at this point. Not anything, you know, within reason, within our peace, within our sanity, you know, within our boundaries, within our standards, you know, because we're still human beings. We still have our belief systems. We still have our, what makes us us. And what, you know, we still have our make or breaks too. But yeah, like, I just wanted to really broadcast this and show everyone that every relationship, no matter if it's intimate, personal, friendship, you know, potential, we all have our worries. We all have our struggles. And sometimes it seems endless. It seems, you know, indefinite. But no, like, the biggest thing is work on your communication and work on your foundation. Because once those are rock solid, you can fly. You can fly anywhere with or without them. You can soar. And, you know, we're still at the beginning stages of our relationship. We're not even 6 months in. So, you know, it's sometimes it feels like it's uphill. But the reality is it's uphill because of the distance. You know, we're not in each other's faces every day. But it doesn't take away from how I feel and the things that I want with him. So, yeah. Any final thoughts? Any last words?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, I like the whole part where you said every level, there's a new devil. Like, you got to think about this also, is every destination can have a renovation. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it doesn't matter where you start. You can always, you know, change what it looks like. You know, it's like almost like a house, you know? You can buy a fixer-upper, and it could be, you know, at the end of the day, it could be a million-dollar mansion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just depends on how much work and how much you're looking to invest. But that's the thing about it, though, is I think we also need to understand and applaud and, you know, really – communicate how much we appreciate people trying, because again, like, a lot of what we have right now at the moment is only attempts. You know what I'm saying? So if you kind of like don't acknowledge the person who is really trying, for whether it's a friendship, whether it's a relationship, whether it's whatever, you know, they need that reassurance. And that's sometimes what keeps people alive. You know what I'm saying? And keeps hope alive. Because again, like what you said earlier, there is so much distance between y'all that the only thing that you really have to go off of are words and action. So when you're getting nothing but action but not words, it's kind of like that's when insecurity has its opportunity to pop up. And it sucks, because once that thought process pops up, it's, unless you get that reassurance, will it calm it down? It's like, you know, like, it's like taming the beast, so to speak, you know?
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, I think that we as men also just need to champion other men to communicate, to not shit on them when they bring you the thoughts and their feelings and stuff like that, you know, or telling
them. Even if it's repetitive, even if it feels like it's always something, like, the reality is people have different relationships. And sometimes I'm not saying that you need to constantly be going through it, but there are going to be moments and just roll with it.
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Reassurance. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And you know, you just got to be 100% open and honest about what you need or what you desire from your partner. I mean, shit, when I told Zach on our drive back home, which we'll divulge into this next podcast about TBRU as a whole, is that I remember telling him, I'm like, look, you know, because Zach was very scared. He was very nervous for me, because he's just like, I don't want to see you get hurt again. But the difference between that hurt and like the first hurt was, it wasn't like this person chose somebody else over me. It was just life happened. You know what I'm saying? And I just had to tell him, and I told him, respectfully speaking, and I said, hey, I love you, Zach. I'm in love with you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But at the same time, I'm in love with this guy too. And I just need to see where it can go. I just need to get my one chance to see where we can go. And that way I know. And I said, just do me a favor. Don't help put more doubt in my mind than I already have, because it's so quick and easy right now. And he looked at me. He says, you're right. Absolutely. He goes, and I, you know, you get my full blessing. He goes, and I won't, you know, I won't add more to it. He goes, but just know that me as your partner, I'm going to have my concerns. And I said, please voice them. I want you to voice them. I don't want you to feel like I have to put you on hush mode for it. But just know that I know the risks, and I know the rewards. And the risks are what kind of creep up on me as a daily, you know? And but, you know, again, there's a lot of work for us to be had, and I'm hoping that I get the opportunity, but I kind of just kind of play my cards and be chill, you know, especially with right now with the whole work and never that, you know, we're looking to start up and stuff. It's going to have me back home a lot more often. So at that point, I'm kind of hoping that he'll see that I mean business, you know?
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to leave y'all with this quote. I like it. It kind of is pretty much like sums up everything that we kind of talked about, just not geared towards relationships, but life in general. Okay. Chase real dopamine, sun, ice, sauna, weights, runs, walks, hard work, breath work, meditate, visualize, design, serve, connect, create, sprint towards your future self, do real work. You'll never reach your potential if fake dopamine is always within reach. Yeah. I like that quote.
Mm-mm, that was a lot. Amen.
That was a lot. All right. Well, we're out. Talk to y'all later. Peace, love, and cinema. Love you guys.
All right. Y'all have a good one. Adios.